Art and music, stories and poetry, youth projects, health centres and spiritual reflections. These are just some of the very creative ways in which Jesuit priests, religious and lay volunteers are now responding to the AIDS pandemic across the African continent. Far from being just a medical emergency, the church in general and the Jesuits in particular have been spearheading a holistic or multifaceted response to the HIV/AIDS crisis, providing care for the sick, comfort for the dying, and support for all those fighting to stop the spread of the deadly disease. The African Jesuit AIDS Network, or AJAN, was set up on June 21, 2002, by the Jesuit superiors of Africa and Madagascar as a priority for their order, encouraging religious to accompany those living with HIV/AIDS and to develop projects that are appropriate for the different local circumstances. Today, members of the network are active in 30 countries across the continent, coordinated from an office in Nairobi by Jesuit Father Michael Cherney.
The network was set up to encourage Jesuits, wherever they were in sub-Saharan Africa, which is in 30 countries actually, to encourage them where they lived, where they worked, in their ministries and in their community life and with their colleagues, to respond to HIV/AIDS. So you see, it's a broad mandate in the sense that it wasn't a particular task and it wasn't a particular way of doing it. And so I would say that the happy fulfillment of our mission 7 years later is to see the list, the names and the involvements of, I can say now hundreds, maybe it's not more than 300, but 200, 300 Jesuits in Africa who really are involved in many, many different ways. These are Jesuits who have their normal Jesuit jobs. These are parish priests, high school teachers, spiritual directors, formators, superiors, novices, Jesuits of every stripe and position, you might say, who most of them have found a way of responding to AIDS as part of what they normally do anyhow. And then there's a dozen, two dozen, three dozen who are doing something that is visibly and, let's say, remarkably and publicly involved in the struggle. So you have the two kinds, but we have to say that our first priority was the involving everyone, each wherever he is, whatever his opportunities are. And then the second, derivative one, although it was what most people had in mind, was the big project with, you might say, with AIDS in the name or AIDS on the door.
So let's talk about some of those big projects. What kind of work mainly are you trying to spearhead in this battle against the disease?
Well, again, I would have to drop the word mainly because we have not made any policy option in terms of what we do. So every example I give you will be different. And I presume that if you invite me back for our 15th anniversary, the variety will be even greater. So, for example, in Togo, there is a center located in a poor neighborhood, which is an integrated multi-service center. It's a center to which people come for a whole series of AIDS services and AIDS activities. And it itself is very closely linked with an educational center so that, in fact, people don't even have to say that they're coming for AIDS service. They're coming to the educational center. They want to participate in something. But in the course of that, their many different needs are met. On the other hand, in Burundi, we have something which is, if you could say it, practically the opposite. There's no center as such. There's a small office which at which the staff get ready to go out into 10 different remote and practically inaccessible parishes. And from this one program, they serve the needs of these different parishes. So you see, it's completely decentralized, even though the people do come for medical care at you might say, the head office. But most of the work is done out of a truck that visits one parish after another.
So clearly the key is responding to the individual needs of parishes, communities, villages.
Schools, for example, a very lovely program in Addis Ababa, which is based in the university chaplaincy. So there's nothing to see. I can't show you anything on a visit, but university students are encouraged and helped to get involved, and they themselves have found HIV-positive people to work with who themselves feel, if I can use the word, saved, because now they have something to do and also they can support themselves a bit, but they're not locked away and thrown away as many AIDS people are.
What would you see as the biggest challenges in this work? You're talking about, as you say, a huge variety of different projects and different situations. What for you is the one real difficulty that you feel you're still trying to work on?
The difficulty is this. This is a new ministry for the church. 25 years ago, it didn't exist, and we are still discovering many dimensions that really it's extraordinary how complex this is. What is the difficulty? The difficulty is that this has been an important public issue. It burst upon our awareness as a very big, high-profile issue. And with the involvement of the UN, with the Bush Initiative, with different high-profile things, it has been, you might say, front and center for a while. But it's slipping from its place front and center. I think you will, if you look at your own newscasts, you will see much less about AIDS this year than you did 5 years ago.
Isn't
I'm quite
that
sure.
Because we're making progress, or is that a wrong reading of it?
Well, it would be a somewhat accurate reading if we were talking about Europe or America. It's not very accurate if we're talking about Africa. See, that's part of the problem. The way we see it is shaped here, but the way we live it there is not the same. So what I'm getting to as the answer to your question, what is the challenge? The challenge is to settle down for a long-term commitment. We say that it's a 100-year project. It's going to take a century to deal with this properly. And that we're going to work on this for the century that it takes, and not less. That we're not going to go away and do something else because something else seems more urgent. But based on our experience of the needs of the people whom we do serve and the many thousands and millions whom we don't serve yet, that we're there to hang in until the need has been dealt with. And that is going to take generations still.
When we're talking about success in the fight against HIV/AIDS, perhaps your definition of success might be very different. In the secular world, perhaps success is getting everybody who is sick on antiretrovirals.
That's not a bad goal, but only 10% of those who are infected are eligible to take antiretrovirals at any time. So there are 90% of people who are HIV positive, who have many needs, who might be a danger to others, who need pastoral and human and sometimes material help and care. And the manufacturers of antiretrovirals and the financiers of these big high-profile programs are completely unaware and disinterested. So if we said, fine, the 10% can be taken care of by the, let's say, the medical complex, but what about the other 90%?
These are people who are not sick enough to be taking ARVs.
They're not sick enough, or they are already too sick, or they don't have enough food so they can't take them, or they can't afford the bus fare to the clinic to pick them up, or they don't know about this yet, or they would be killed by somebody in their family if they even made a move in this direction, and so on and so on and so on. It's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And what I feel so encouraged about by the church's response is that most often we're not reaching out. We're there already. These are our people, you see. So it's not that we sit in a chair and think, now what shall we do and where shall we go in our Jeep in order to bring our service? No, these are our people. These are our parishioners. These are our students. These are the families that we come from. And we need to continue to be with them. And we need to give them the very, very strong feeling that although they are HIV positive or otherwise affected by AIDS, that they are fully members of the family of God and fully members of the Christian community and, in fact, fully integrated in their own natural families, which is not always easy.
As you say, the church's outreach in this area is extraordinary because of the network of parishes and communities that has always existed there. And yet we saw again recently an attack, a virulent attack, on the church's policy on HIV/AIDS during the Pope's trip to Africa, described as unrealistic and ineffective. Mm. Were you surprised, first of all, at that or not?
Well, not really. I was surprised that it caused such a huge fuss because neither the question nor the answer were very new. But on the other hand, it was maybe a salutary sort of ventilation of the issue. And the experience we had is that the question seemed to be about Africa, but the brouhaha was clearly a Western one. It was clearly a question of Western culture or global culture coming up against the church in a, I think, but we could call a serene and long-term approach to sexuality, and an approach which is, frankly, and we saw it so clearly, very, very countercultural. And I'm happy enough to say that we are not going to adapt our approach to something as important as sexuality based on a cultural trend or a cultural wave. And when the Pope calls for the humanization of sexuality, I don't see how anyone of goodwill couldn't say, well, at least let's all agree that that's what we need and that's what we want. But we didn't even get that far.
But why is there this refusal? The issue is clearly about condom use as AIDS, HIV prevention. And yet this seems to be the only issue, as you say, around which the whole AIDS care and prevention debate revolves in the secular view.
Well, I mean, there isn't much debate about AIDS in the secular view. I mean, we were saying earlier that it's no longer the hot issue that it was. So I'm not sure that there is much debate. You know, the big programs continue. I wonder if they're going to survive in this current economic crisis. And other than that, except for the occasional scientific conference, I'm not sure that there's that much interest. I certainly don't see many articles in the press about it. So we shouldn't think that it's an issue into which that was already lively, into which the Holy Father then entered. No, it was an issue that was more or less in the background. The condom is a concrete object and a symbol, and therefore easy to kind of wrap the whole issue around that. But in Africa, that's certainly not the issue. And I would say even in the West, my impression is that the upset in the media isn't so much about the condom. It's about the possibility that with regard to sexuality, there's both yes and no. It isn't just yes. It isn't just consensual. There are things that one should do, and there are things that one shouldn't do, and there are people with whom one should, and there are people with whom one shouldn't. And this simple possibility that this is something about which culture and society and religion and family should have some say, and that it's not just up to how you and I feel at the moment, this is unacceptable. And this is what the Holy Father really unleashed, I think. And I think the debate will go on. It'll come back. And I don't know how it'll go, but I certainly know that in Africa his position is much appreciated because it coincides with an awareness, not necessarily of how everyone behaves all the time, but that this is the kind of human community in which we want to live, where this is subject to our own wisdom and our own discipline.
Why is it that this view finds it so hard to be accepted? Why? What else can you do, perhaps, to try and better promote this long-term holistic vision you're talking about?
Well, I think you're now asking me a question outside of Africa, so that's not a bit unfair that I should have to answer that. So I'll say that I really don't know, and I don't know how the church is... I don't know what issues around which the church would have an opportunity to speak very publicly about sexuality nowadays. So that would maybe make some difference. But I think that a new catechesis about sexuality, based on this simple but I think very illuminating phrase that the Holy Father used in his answer to the question on the plane, namely, a humanization of sexuality. What makes sexuality really human? And that the church and other cultural and moral and religious groups have something important to say about that. I think if we could find a way of doing that, I think all of society would benefit. Otherwise, it's up to the advertisers and the media, in the sense of not so much the news media, but the entertainment media, to set standards of ever greater, let's say, entertainment and provocation and titillation. But to call that humanization of sexuality, I think, is simply false.
Looking ahead the next 7 years, what perhaps are your greatest hopes, your ambitions for these next few years?
I think my single greatest hope is will sound very modest or very conservative. I hope that we can continue. I hope that we can continue to make... to involve more Jesuits. If there are 300 involved now, there's over 1,000 still to involve. So there's still many opportunities for Jesuits in Africa to do something, each one to do something about AIDS. And I'm very excited to see what kind of new projects are going to come up. because I'm quite sure that we're not going to be copying old ones. We're going to find new ways of doing it in different contexts, and I think that's marvelous. And I'm very hopeful that in the larger church, that AIDS ministry will be calmly and seriously and competently incorporated into what the church normally does, so that in 15 years from now, you might not need to interview me about this, because it'll be obvious that at least in Africa, the church is it's involved in AIDS ministry, not because the UN raised the alarm or because Bill Gates gave billions, but because that's part of life. And being part of life and an important and difficult part of life, the church wants to be with people when they are in those difficulties. And it could be as simple as that. And I'm hopeful that it will be more and more normal that anyone who's in trouble knows that he or she can turn to the local parish, the local religious house, the local Catholic school, or university chaplaincy, and find sympathetic, competent, and challenging help. And that, I think, for that we would be very grateful.
My thanks there to Father Michael Czerny, coordinator of the African Jesuit AIDS Network, with music by Jesuit Father Wilfred Sumani. And if you'd like to know more about the organization, you can find them at www.jesuitaids.net.